Cool. We good? Sweet. Awesome, y'all. Trevor here with Carrot and coming at you with our first episode of a brand new weekly series we're going to be putting out called Ask Carrot. I'm pumped about it. We're going to, over the course of the next many, many weeks, maybe for years, I'm going to be having a lot of guests on, but also Adrian on my team is going to be a consistent person on Ask Carrot every single Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Sean on our team, who runs our concierge design side of things, where he's the guy actually making the designs look amazing for our concierge clients. He's going to come on and show you guys how to make your carrot sites stand out even more. So we're going to have a lot of fun on these live streams. This first one's going to be us just kind of having a conversation with y'all, figuring some things out, and maybe answering some questions that got submitted earlier in the week. And kind of the format here, I'm going to dive into some housekeeping items, but the format. We pre-seed some of the questions that people go to carrot.com/ask, carrot.com/ask, or on Instagram, use ask carrot or ping me something directly. And we'll take a handful of those questions that are really, really relevant to a lot of people, and we'll answer them live on the call. And then the thing I'm most pumped about is actually answering questions live from Facebook, from Instagram, from YouTube, mainly Facebook. That's going to be kind of the main source of this. But we're streaming in three different spots right now. Over here on Instagram, pumped to see you guys every single Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time, Ask Carrot. And I'm going to be kind of lining out what that Ask Carrot is and why you should care about it. But then on Facebook, I'm streaming, and YouTube. So I've got three different spots. Pick the spot that makes the most sense for you. Let me kind of adjust a couple things, make sure I've got the questions up here, all that kind of stuff. So on the Facebook thread, I can see your questions that pop through. Just pop a quick little note in the questions panel, comments panel right now. Let me know that you can see me, first of all, and where are you tuning in from, whether you're on Instagram or there on Facebook or YouTube. Let me know where you're tuning in from. I'd love to see it. And I'm trying to find where the YouTube questions are. We'll figure this stuff out, guys. I'm pumped about it. On YouTube? I got YouTube. You got YouTube? Cool. Awesome. So housekeeping items here, y'all. Things you want to remember, we'll put it in the comments section below. But carrot.com/ask. So carrot.com/ask is a spot where you can submit questions anytime throughout the week before Ask Carrot comes live. You can submit it on Tuesday, on Wednesday, whatever. Or the best thing is just come right here live every single week on Thursday at 1 p.m. And a couple cool announcements, y'all. So before we dive into some questions, we are hiring. We just put out a brand new position that we're hiring, a product manager. And I'm crazy, crazy pumped to be able to, number one, find our ideal product manager. Crazy pumped about that. But you can go to carrot.com/careers. We'll link it up below. That if you are an amazing product manager, or if you know someone who is, we'd be pumped for you to share it up and let us know who we can talk to and really, really. We're just looking to make the product even more amazing moving forward. So that's an exciting thing. Another thing that's really, really exciting is we're going to start ramping stuff up, and Carrot and Ask Carrot is actually going to become a second podcast episode each and every week. So if you're a fan of the Carrot Cast, where we get tens of thousands of downloads, if you're a fan of that, we're going to be putting on a second episode every single week. So if you'd rather listen to this than watch the video live, or if you just can't make the lives, we are gonna trim it down and make it an amazing, amazing Thursday, I think it is, episode. And that first one will go live. Is it next week, Brady? Thursday next week, probably?
Tomorrow. Ask Carrot.
Ask Carrot. Or is it tomorrow? On Fridays? Fridays, y'all. So Tuesdays and Fridays, Carrot Cast is going to have two episodes a week now. So what we're going to do is we're going to dive right into questions. And I know this first one, as we're getting steam and we're getting momentum on it, it's going to be a little bit slower probably, and people getting used to sending questions through and stuff like that. But I'm crazy pumped about as we get more momentum. Boise House Buyers says, congrats for the show. Awesome. Thank you over there. And then over here on Facebook, there's a good number of people watching. So questions. I'm going to pull up the questions right now. And so one of the big questions that comes through quite a bit, here is about being a part-time investor or an agent. Okay, so this question actually came in from, yes, from a podcast review actually on the Carrot Cast. So it looks like Lenny's challenges on iTunes reviews. He says, "What's up, team? I've been seeing your advertising. I think it's telling me something. I recently jumped on your podcast and it's on point. So I'm working my way out of my 9-to-5 job, which means all of my active business hours, I'm getting close. Which means all my active business hours, I'm getting close to jumping ship. I'm not sure if you have a podcast on this, but I'll keep listening. So he's basically saying, hey, what do you do if you're working a 9-to-5 job and you've got a dream as a real estate investor, real estate agent, or anything else? What do you do if you're working a 9-to-5 job, and how do you balance your hours to then go full time? Or how do you make it to where you can start to ramp up your income while you're trying to do your side hustle? Okay. So what I do is this, and I'll draw some things on the board here in a little bit. But the first thing I want to guide everyone towards, if you're in this bucket, if you're in the bucket where you have a full-time job and you're looking at building your side hustle into a full-time income, here's the first thing I would do is, number one, you've got to know what your risk profile is, okay? So the very first thing that you need to do is write down, what is your risk profile? Some people are really, really, really risky, and I talk about flipping your risk profile in an episode of the Carrot Cast, and flipping your risk profile is basically this. What I like to do is I go, okay, here's the first thing I do. What's the worst case scenario that would happen if I make this decision to jump out of my job into this new side business? What's the worst case scenario? Okay, and usually the worst case scenario isn't as bad as you think it's going to be. So in this case, the worst case scenario could be that you leave your job, you leave that income of $5,000 a month or whatever it is, and you aren't able to make the real estate thing work. And then you go back and get another job in 3, 6, 7 months. You deplete your bank account. Maybe even you get foreclosed on your house. But even that isn't like terrible. I think to me, that's way, way, way better of an option than looking back in 20 years, wishing that you had taken a chance on yourself. That's way better an option. Because even if you got foreclosed on your house, that's only going to last on your credit for 7 years. You're gonna get back on your feet and get a great job again. But if you don't take that leap, the flipping the risk profile is, what am I guaranteed? What am I guaranteed to have happen if I don't do this? So what am I guaranteed will happen if I don't do this? I'm going to share this actually right now on my personal page really quick. So people know I'm live there. Bam. Cool. So that's the first thing. You've got to flip your risk profile. The second thing, y'all, is write down what you're willing to risk. I was talking with a client, this is probably 2 years ago, Michael out of Tennessee, I believe it was. And he waited until his side hustle, his real estate income, fully replaced his full-time business as being a CPA. And he's a CPA, so he's really, really risk averse. So if you're in that bucket where you are more on the risk averse side of things, and you're like, you know what, I really want my full-time income to be replaced before I take the leap, then awesome. Just be intentional with that before you go in. If you're someone who's kind of on the other side of the risk profile like me, you might be willing to make the leap when half of your income is replaced with your new side hustle. Or I even know some people who they make the jump with nothing, with no income from the side hustle yet. So figure out where you land there. The last piece of advice I'm going to give you is you've got to honestly just get real with yourself that sometimes you're going to have to pull lots of hours. Okay. I'll talk to a lot of Carrot members who are struggling and saying, you know what? I just don't have any hours. I work 8 hours during the week with my job. I come home and I don't have any energy. I don't know how I'm going to make this work. And being honest, if you're in that bucket, you've got to get real with yourself on how bad you want this. You've got to get real with yourself on how bad you truly actually want to make this move in your life. Because if you work an eight hour job and you're coming home and you feel like you're out of energy to do anything else, and that's your excuse, you probably aren't as excited about that new opportunity as you think. Because if you were, you would have high energy. You would have high energy and you'd be motivated to go do that work. Okay, so I would really look at it and go, why do I think that I want this? Why do I think that I actually want this new opportunity if I'm not really getting off my duff and taking these actions to do that? So here's the game plan if you have a full-time 9-to-5 job on how to make the transition to full-time as a real estate agent or real estate investor or any other business that you want. The first thing is, I would carve out certain time each and every day that's dedicated towards just this business. Okay, cut out TV, cut out things like that are getting in your way of that. You will have to sacrifice. You're gonna have to sacrifice certain things that you see as luxuries right now that are probably entertainment or things like that. You're gonna have to sacrifice that. Okay, I know when I was building up my businesses early on, I sacrificed all that stuff. I didn't watch any TV, and I still today very rarely watch any TV. The next thing was I sacrificed going out and like hanging out with friends on weekends and stuff. And I'm saying that there's pros and cons to this, because if you do that for too long, you end up you end up now flip-flopping the other way to where you didn't invest in friends and relationship enough. So I'm not saying to sacrifice that forever. You just do it during a certain phase of your life. Okay, so figure out what you can sacrifice and cut out, okay? And then you need to carve out at least 2 to 4 hours a day to focus on your business. If you work 9 to 5, awesome. Get up at 5 in the morning and bust your butt from 5 in the morning to 6:30, a full 90 minutes on working your business. It could be, you know, working on your Carrot site and implementing the pay-per-click campaigns. It could be anything like that. And then when you get home, after everyone's to bed, pull out that computer again or do whatever you're gonna do and bust butt again for another 90 minutes to 2 hours, okay? Right there, that means you're gonna go to bed a little bit later. You're gonna wake up a little bit earlier. You have to be more disciplined. You have to create better habits, which my habit tracker, I'll link it up below, is gonna help you do that. But you've got to fundamentally shift who you are and able to make that happen, all right? So hopefully that helps you guys a little bit there. Carve out at least 2 to 4 hours a day. Cut out some of those luxuries currently that are getting in your way that aren't mapping towards your goals. Look at this right here, y'all. I've got a canvas up on my wall that says actions express priorities. That canvas right there is the only thing that you need to look at when you have a 9 to 5 job and you're trying to then make the leap. Are your actions actually expressing what you say is priority? All right. So hopefully that helped out a little bit, Lenny. Let me know as you go on in your journey, man, what we can do to help you. But we've worked with so many people who had full-time jobs. They buckled down, they put their heads down, they made the leap. Like Brian Rockwell, he was a full-time teacher. He just put his head down, executed at nights and in the mornings. Within a year, his very first year of full-time investing, he did $630,000 around there of wholesale fees. And he came to Carrot Camp and he's just like, he's crushing it. So you've got to make the commitment to yourself. Next question.
Got a new one, tthrush@yahoo.com. How can I measure ads attribution for my Facebook campaigns?
Sweet. So is that one on YouTube?
Asana.
Oh, I got you. Cool. Where we at? Oh, there we go. Cool. Awesome. So this one just came through. Ask Carrot. Awesome, guys. So go to that link below, carrot.com/ask, carrot.com/ask. You can submit it through there, or if you're live on here right now, put in your question. So I love this one. This one just came through and I'm just going to reread it. It says, hey guys, I have a couple questions that'd be really useful to get answered. How can I measure ads attribution for my Facebook campaigns, and what to do when my campaigns are getting clicks but no conversions? So there's a couple things here. And the first thing is, I would love to give you like the answer live on here, but without looking at some of the details, I can't really give you the full answer until I look at some details. So if you can send me through some screenshots of what your ads might look like, send me through a link of where you're driving them to. But here's the basics of it right here. Okay, so I'm gonna answer the first question. How can I measure ads attribution to my Facebook campaigns? The first thing is inside of the Carrot system, and on future Ask Carrots, we're going to make it to where I can switch between showing my screen and things like that. Today, we're not able to show my screen, but in future ones, we will. So what you need to do is inside of the Carrot system, we give you what's called lead source tracking. Okay, what is lead source tracking? Lead source tracking is basically where our system can recognize where that click came from. So if a click came from an ad on Facebook, our system can pull it and go, okay, we recognize that this came from an ad on Facebook. If it came from a social post on Facebook, just an organic post, our system will say it came from Facebook. If it came from a Google ad or a Bing ad or Google Organic, our system already will tell you where that lead came from. It came from Google Organic, Facebook, things like that. Okay, so that's the number one thing. Is if you're not set up with Carrot, you need to go to your web developer and say, hey, how can I get lead source tracking put in place? LEAD, lead source tracking put in place. So all of your leads now have attached the lead source. The second thing is, if you want even more granular data on exactly which campaigns are working, you need to then set up something called a UTM link. Okay, UTM link. I'm gonna write it down really quick here. So lead source tracking, then UTM links. Okay, so a UTM link is, if you've ever clicked an ad up in the browser, it wouldn't say carrot.com. It would say carrot.com, you know, question mark, then a whole bunch of gibberish after that, right? That's a UTM link. That's a tracking link, okay? So what a UTM link does is it gives you the data on exactly what is working and what's not working. So how does that work? You would go into your Carrot system, and we actually have a campaign tracking link tool that's available for Content Pro and Advanced Marketer members, campaign tracking links. You would just log in your Carrot account, on the left side for your website, it would say campaigns, and then you can set up a campaign tracking link. And I'll put the link below on the Facebook thread linking to our tutorial on how to do that. And inside the campaign tracking link creator, you would just say, hey, select from the dropdown. This is the page I'm going to send people to from this ad. This is where the ad is. It's on Facebook or it's on Google or it's on whatever. Okay. And then this is the type of advertising that it is. It's a social media post. It's a it's a paid ad or whatever it is, okay? And then that will create a special tracking link for you that you'll use just for that one Facebook campaign or even just one ad in there, okay? And our tool is then going to tell you, hey, these are the exact, this is where these leads came from this one campaign or from this other campaign right here. What's up, Matt? Okay, so make sure you're using lead source tracking first of all. Okay, that tells you basically where every lead came from, Google Organic, AdWords, Facebook. That's all built into Carrot from day one. That's all built in there. Number two, set up what's called UTM links. And Google actually has a free UTM builder. Just go to google.com and Google UTM link builder, and you can use their builder. What we did in our campaign tracking tool is we took their UTM builder, made it simpler, and built it all into Carrot, and then attached it to the leads too, so you can see which leads came from that, okay? So that's the first thing is you have to put in both of those in order to fully know how well any campaigns are doing, Facebook ad campaigns, Google campaigns, any of that stuff, lead source and UTMs. Okay, the next question that he's got here is, what do I do when my campaigns are getting clicks but no conversions? So the few things I like to look at here, and I'm gonna actually write it on the board, is there's a few dropping off points for conversion. Okay, the first thing is this. Let me grab this and move my mic over here, y'all. So the first thing, hopefully you guys can see it on the board. Okay, so the first thing you got is that we look at is the ad copy. Okay, we're gonna look at the ad copy, and if you're getting clicks, obviously the ad copy is pretty decent. And it really depends on the type of prospect we're going after on what is a good click-through rate. Outside of this, I can go and give you good click-through rate percentages. We can post them up. But if you're getting a click-through rate between 1% and 3%, that's pretty darn decent for some. If you're below a 1%, in some markets, if you're going really, really crazy broad marketing, that might be good. But if you're doing targeted marketing, that's pretty bad. So the first thing I look at is the ad copy, and is your click-through rate 1% to 3% or higher, okay? The next thing is, if it is a pretty decent click-through rate, then we go, okay, well, why isn't this website then converting if it's not converting well? The first thing that we've got to do is now define what is a good conversion rate on a website. So I'm going to write down some things here. So you've got ad copy. Okay, so you've got ad copy, you've got your audience for your ad, and now we've got the website conversion, okay? So if we look at ad copy and your click-through rate's between 1% and 3% or higher, okay, we kind of chuck that box and go, okay, yeah, there's probably some things we can do to make it better, but we know we are getting clicks. Now let's go look at the website to see why that isn't converting. There's two things you want to look at here. The first thing we always look at is, does this website include the general elements that's going to make it convert high? All Carrot sites have all those general elements from day one. Then you can make it convert better as you build in credibility, build in testimonials, kind of personalize it with localized images and your branding and things like that, okay? So what we want to do here, Ray, what's up, man? I'll answer yours here in a bit, bud. So what we want to do there is, if we immediately look at the website and see, man, this isn't a Carrot site. It doesn't have a call to action up top. The form, the web form has way too many fields in it. The button's too small. That's the first thing we want to do, is make the website convert well, okay? And the main things I'm going to look at there is what we call the hero section. The hero section is that top part of your website. That is what every single person who visits your website sees. As you scroll down further on the webpage, the further down you get, the fewer people will see it. But also, those who go all the way down are going to be really highly targeted because they're soaking in more information. They're likely more motivated. That's why having robust content on your website is really important, because the most motivated people want to dive in, continue diving into the content. But if your website is set up to convert, and I can show you guys what good good examples might look like. Then we look at the audience, okay? And we found so many examples, especially with Facebook ads, where it was driven to a well-personalized carrot website. We know it converts because we drove Google AdWords to it and it converted. The ad was pretty darn decent, but the audience was off. So let me give you an example here. Let's say we had the best high-converting website in the world for a motivated house seller. Let's say we had the best ad that got the highest click-through rate ever. But you sent the ad out in a general ad to all of your entire city. And let's say you're in Boston. I don't know what the population of Boston is. Let's say it's a million people. Okay, and you got 1,000 clicks in a week. The likelihood that those people are actually interested in your message is very, very, very low. So your targeting is what's causing the conversion to be really, really low there. So the better your audience is, and if your website is dialed in to convert well like carrot sites are, then the better your conversion is going to be. So I would look at your audience there next, okay? So let me know what your click-through rate is in the comments. We can check that out. But if you are getting clicks, we never like to look at conversion rates until you've already got at least 100 clicks. If you have 20 clicks, 25 clicks, it's just not enough yet. Okay, 100 clicks is kind of that barometer. And ideally, on a motivated house seller website, it depends on the market. But if you're in a crazy, crazy competitive market, like a Miami or something like that, a Houston, you're likely going to see between a 3 and 10% conversion rate. 3 and 10% conversion rate. Chris is saying that it looks like there might be a delay or audio issues or something like that. We'll check it out, Chris. Thanks, man. So between a 3 and 10% conversion rate through paid ads, okay? So if you're getting a 7% conversion rate and you're saying it's not converting and you think it's going to convert at 20%, you might be in a market that just isn't a high conversion market. If you're in a market like Oklahoma or Baltimore, that's where sometimes we see those 10 to 20% conversion rates through paid advertising. So it's kind of, that's the next thing. We'll take a look at the audio one sec. Can you guys post through the comment section? Chris is saying there might be a little bit of audio issues. Anyone else have an audio issues? This one here. Cool. All right. Let me know if you guys are hearing it come through. We just made a quick adjustment. What's up, Matt? We just made a quick adjustment there. Ray. All right. Ray says, why does Craigslist hate me so much? LOL. I have copied and pasted and followed all the hints and tips from Carrot on Craigslist and will not let me post an ad for my buy. Ray, can you send through a picture or even just the copy of maybe some of those ones that are getting turned down? Because I know even market by market, Craigslist is making lots of updates. So what we can do is we can start to, awesome, looks like audio is better now. Thanks, guys. What we can do is we can look at that ad copy and give you some suggestions, Ray, on getting it updated, okay? Awesome, thanks, guys. Cool. Thanks for the tip there, Chris. Next question I'm going to go through is this one here. This one actually comes through quite a bit. Probably every single week we get this one. And I'm going to race the board really fast here. All right, cool. So I'm excited about diving into this one right here. So this question is basically, with a lot of other investors using carrot sites, how will I stand out if there's a lot of other carrot competition? Okay. And like I said, that's a question we get every single week. And it's a good question because I would probably be asking the same question. But there's a couple things I want everyone to really focus in on here. There's a couple things. The first thing is whenever I find any situation in my life where I feel something is holding me back, I look at it first and I go, okay, number one, is this a limiting belief or is this true? Okay, number one, is this a limiting belief that I have that's holding me back from moving forward, or is this a true statement? And anytime you can see someone, if someone ever proved it wrong that has similar resources to you, then it's a limiting belief. If no one has ever proved it wrong that has resources similar to you, then it's a true statement. Okay, so with this one here, with a lot of other investors using carrot sites, how will I stand out if there's a lot of carrot competition? So let me tell you a quick story, okay? Brian Rockwell, I could tell you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories just like this. But Brian Rockwell, a high school teacher, softball or baseball coach, can't remember which one, in the Dallas market. Okay, the Dallas market is a hot market. There's a lot of competition there, a lot of cooperation, really is what I should say. There's a lot of cooperation opportunity. I wouldn't call it competition. Because we have multiple people that are Carrot customers that do tons of deals together in Dallas. Okay, so never look at competition as competition. Look at it as collaboration. The second that you look at competition as competition as a real estate investor or real estate agent is the day that you start missing opportunities. Okay, but Brian was in the market with more Carrot customers than any other city in the whole country. He had no experience in real estate, didn't have a lot of money to then fund it. And a lot of people look at this and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up my arms. I see there's already Carrot customers, you know, dominating page one in Google for a lot of the phrases. I'm a brand new investor. I don't have a $30,000 a month budget. How am I going to ever compete, right? But what he did was he said, okay, is this a limiting belief or is this a true statement? And what he did is he pulled back and said, okay, has there ever been anyone who's taken Carrot and really executed it if they weren't the first one in that market and had success? The answer is clearly yes. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of case studies and testimonials that show that. So he said, okay, if that's true, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm executing a plan that's going to help me win? And so all he did was he fully committed and said, okay, I'm going to give this a full 12 months. I'm going to execute the plan exactly. And what he did was he executed our 3 lead per day training. It's a $100 training. We update it 2, 3, 4 times a year. He executed that and he said, okay, I'm going to do the search engine optimization part myself. I still have a full-time job. I'm going to tuck my head and I'm going to then do the execution of the SEO. He carved out a couple hours a day is what he ended up doing. And he executed the SEO and he got through part of our plan and he said, okay, but I can't wait 12 months to get leads, especially this is in a competitive market. I need to get leads quicker. So he saw in our plan, we said, hey, for short term, you need to go through our max cost per deal, max cost per lead calculation to set a realistic budget for paid marketing. And then he said, okay, it looks like Carrot suggests to do paid marketing with Google AdWords. Okay, awesome. So he just said, okay, I'm just going to trust that. I'm going to go do it. And he did that, but he said, I don't have the time to do the PPC myself because I'm doing the SEO and I have a full-time job. And I'm in one of the most competitive markets in the country. So he went to our marketplace, like we said. He hired a firm inside of there to run AdWords. It wasn't cheap, but he allocated the budget according to our calculation, the way that we help you remove emotion from that equation, add in just, you know, remove emotion, trust the math. He executed, and that first year he did $600,000 in wholesale fees. First year in one of the most competitive markets in the country, the market with more Carrot customers than any other market. He got in there after probably 40 or 50 other people had already entered that market. Okay, and there's a few reasons I tell that story. Because that story completely categorically proves that you don't have to be the first person. You don't have to be the 13th person. You don't have to be the 50th person in any market using Carrot or any other tool to have success. You just have to believe that you can do it and then actually execute the plan and don't give up. Okay, so the second thing is this. There's two parts to really helping to stand out. And I'm going to give you guys some really, really tactical stuff right now. Okay, I'm going to write it down. So if you're in a market with a lot of other Carrot members, the first thing I want to do have you do is lock into this mindset. Okay, and I like to use the analogy of a race car. Okay, so I'm going to write this down. Cool. And if you can't read my writing, no big deal. But basically, the first thing I want to walk you guys through is this race car analogy. Okay, so if you're a race car driver and you see these certain cars continually winning, if you see these certain cars continually winning, what are you going to do? You're probably going to look at what those cars are doing. How is their spoiler set up? What tires are they using? What's their engine look like? You're going to look at what they're doing and model what you know is winning, right? So it would be crazy. It'd be absolutely crazy for you if you're a race car driver to go, you know what? I'm not going to do what all the winners are doing. I'm going to go do something over here because it's different than what the winners are doing and I want to be different, right? So if you were a race car driver or team owner, and you came with that mindset. Now you always want to model and then make it better, right? I'm not saying, hey, just model what the winners are doing and that's it. I want to say we always want to model what the winners are doing, model what's working, and then go, how can I put my own spin to it to make it even better? Okay. So with this, what is currently working and bringing the most performance overall in your market? What we find oftentimes is that Carrot is, right? So in the Dallas market, that's what Brian said. He's like, I looked at creating a custom site. I looked at doing this. My buddy can set up a site for me. I even looked at some of the competitors. He goes, I just couldn't ignore that overwhelmingly over and over again, Carrot sites continually perform the best. So he's like, I would be crazy not to go with the tool. I'd be crazy to not to go with the tool that gets the best results. And then he said, I'm just going to now take the tool, take the resources, take the training, and I'm going to personalize the tool to stand out. Okay, I'm going to personalize the tool so it's mine and I stand out. So the first thing is you've got to eliminate the mindset that, as an example, Carrot is a website system, which it's not, okay? You have to eliminate that mindset and you have to go, okay, what Carrot is a marketing tool. Now what I need to do is I need to add differentiation to the marketing tool, okay? So here's a few things you can do to add differentiation. Anytime I'm coaching a high-level client or one of our concierge-level clients, and we're going through and personalizing their website for them, adding their credibility, adding their branding, adding different things to really help them stand out, I do the Google searches that they might want to rank for. I click all of the first 10 results in that Google search, okay? I click all the first 10 results. And any sites, doesn't matter if it's a Carrot site or not, because you're not just competing against Carrot customers, right? You're competing against everyone. Carrot happens to give you an advantage over everybody else. So now it's putting you up on this playing field here. Everyone else who's not using Carrot's down here, even custom sites. We get tons of the biggest investors in the country bail on their $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 custom sites and come over to Carrot because of the performance, okay? So this Carrot puts you up here at this level up here. Now you go, okay, now how do I stand out and personalize here, okay? So I click through all of the first 10 results and I look at all the sites and go, okay, what is similar and what's different about all these? Okay, what's similar and what's different about all these? If all of them have a certain, with Carrot, if they're all using the same design, like our Douglas design, which is the default design, cool, go pick a different design in Carrot. Now you're immediately giving yourself one quick differentiation piece, okay? So I'll go through and click all those things. I'll look at all the Carrot sites and I'll go, okay, which one of the designs is gonna help me stand out the most as my foundation? If you're on the Advanced Marketer Plan, choose the Hemlock design. That's a premium design just for Hemlock, just for Advanced Marketer members. There's a lot fewer people using them. So select the Hemlock one because now you're from out of the gates, you're using one that fewer people in your market are using. Then number two is you need to add in things that are personal and unique to you. Okay, add in things that are personal and unique to you. Get some good, clean, clear, simple branding up there. Swap out the photos of the website that are not stock photos. Go take photos yourself, okay? And then next, get a really good about page up there. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just get a good picture of you and your family or something like that. Talk about why you do what you do, some of your core values, a little bit of bios on you or your team if it's just you. Okay. And then next is get some credibility and testimonials in there. And we actually have a blog post we'll link up. Brady, if you can jot this down. There's one, I think it's called like 13 ways to differentiate your Carrot site or something like that. Yeah, so we'll link that up on the Facebook thread and the YouTube thread. But we have a blog post that gives you 13 different ways to differentiate. So two things here, y'all. If you have that question of, there's so many Carrot sites in my market that are up there doing really well, how do I compete? The first thing is you need to eliminate that limiting belief, because that's a limiting belief. It's not a true statement that you can't compete. What you need to do next is you need to go, okay, I know that this proves to me that that's the best tool that gets the best results, so therefore I need to use the best tool. And then number three is you then need to go through and give yourself some differentiations to stand out. So not only are you using the best tool, the highest converting, highest performing tool, but now you're giving yourself the ability to stand out, okay? And the ways you give yourself the ability to stand out, and recap, are click all the top 10 results in the keywords you're looking to go after, even if you don't care about doing SEO, okay? Even if you don't care about doing SEO and you're just going to be doing pay-per-click as an example. We have a lot of customers who are just do Google pay-per-click, who just do Facebook, or we have a lot of customers who don't do any online marketing at all, and they use Carrot to amplify and make all of their offline marketing work better. So if you're doing direct mail or cold calling or RVMs, ringless voicemails, any of that stuff, billboards, bandit signs, people are going to pick up their cell phone. They're going to pick up this thing right here. They're going to go to Google and they're going to research you. They're going to start looking for credibility to vet and verify you and your and the others that they've heard about. Okay, so that's what is adding multiple six figures a year to some big house flipper and wholesalers' businesses that only do offline marketing, is they're making it to where when the person picks up the phone and they're ready to research and verify their different options, that their Carrot site looks amazing, builds a credible profile, works amazing on mobile, and converts really high. Okay, so even if you're doing offline marketing, you don't care about SEO at all. Carrot's amazing at SEO. But click through the top 10 results of things that your market might search. Look and see what Carrot sites are in there, or even other sites. Find the design that's going to give you the biggest differentiation within your Carrot site that others aren't using as much in that market. And then go through this blog post we're linking up below that Brady just linked up. All right. Awesome. Carlisle says, caught this at the right time. I love it. Andre, thanks. Yeah, Andre, awesome. If there's any other things like that, Andre's on our team. I love it. Aaron, wow, that's awesome. Cool. So I'm going to dive into another question here. Let's see. Da-da-da-da-da. Cool. Awesome. So, yep, I love it. So someone submitted this one through the Ask Carrot page. So go to carrot.com/ask or submit it on the Facebook Live comment section below or on the YouTube. So this one came in, says, I want SEO to be the only marketing I do. What should I be doing daily to help with that? So the first thing I'm going to do here is hopefully adjust your mindset a little bit on marketing. Okay. So here's some context in the story. The way that Carrot had started, and everything that we teach y'all, everything that we teach is exactly what we do to grow our own business. Okay. That's the same way I grow Carrot. It's the same way that I grew companies that we consulted for. It's the same way that I suggest all of my friends and software businesses and everything else to grow their businesses, because this fundamentally works for marketing. Okay. And if you're going to be a real estate investor, real estate agent, you're not a house flipper. You're not a wholesaler. You're not an agent. You need to be a great marketer. Okay. And great marketers understand that if you rely on one marketing source, then you're really putting your business at risk. So here at Carrot, we started with one marketing source. And I always want people to get really, really, really good at one marketing source first. Okay. Get really good at that, build momentum with it, create some systems so it can keep on getting better, and then go over and stack something else on. I'm going to draw something on the board here in a second. I call lead stacking. Okay, you need to be lead stacking. So this is the first thing I want you to do is not actually do what you're asking. I don't want you to be only using SEO. Okay, so here we go. Can you guys see the board okay when I'm doing this? So the first thing I'm gonna talk about is lead stacking, right? So there's one graph I'm gonna draw, and then here's another one I'm gonna draw. All right, cool. So what is lead stacking? What's the lead stacking concept? Basically, you want to make sure you're diversifying your marketing. For me and for what we teach, search engine optimization is the highest leverage, biggest momentum building marketing that we've found. Okay. A Carrot, our business, about 60 to 70% of all new customers that come to our business are from organic search, meaning we're putting out content. People are attracted to the content. We build value. We build expertise. We build culture and trust. And then they end up coming through because we've added value. We've brought them into our fold. We've created that trust and credibility where they believe, you believe you want to trust your business with us then. Okay. So about 60 to 70% of all of our business comes from that. But we also do some paid marketing through Facebook, paid marketing through Google AdWords to supplement that. Okay. So over the long term, content and SEO, search engine optimization, is what's going to be helping you build that foundation for predictability, for momentum, and for really adding a stable part to your marketing. But there's something, I did a video on this recently where I call it the ebb and flow of marketing. The ebb and flow of marketing. What's the ebb and flow of marketing? Basically, outbound marketing is marketing that you do where you're sending a marketing message out there, okay? You're sending a marketing message out there, and you're hoping someone will read it, and you're hoping they will then reply to your marketing message. That's outbound marketing. So what does that include? That includes direct mail. That includes cold calling, even RVMs, our outbound marketing, ringless voicemails, bandit signs, billboards, radio, TV, that's all outbound marketing. Okay, what's inbound marketing? Inbound marketing is where the person that you can help, the person that has the problem, the house seller, the house buyer, you know, whatever it is, the land seller, land buyer, where that person is actually going out and seeking out a solution. Okay, they're going to Google and they're typing in things like, how do I sell my land in Oregon? Or going through a divorce, tax consequences of selling a property or something like that. Okay, you have content up there, you engage them with content, you build trust and expertise and credibility, and you bring them in. Okay, that is called inbound marketing. So this down here is the ebb and flow of marketing. Let's say that red one right there, let's say that's direct mail. And then let's say that the blue one is cold calling, and the orange one is online inbound marketing. Okay, over market cycles, I'm gonna write some years down here. Okay. This isn't going to be an exact science. I'm not saying that this is how it went. But let's say from 2008 through 2019, this is how, and this isn't accurate, but let's say that this is how the ebb and flow of marketing happens. So as more and more people use a marketing method, let's say cold calling, because cold calling has been all the rage the past 12 months, and it's amazing. You should keep on doing cold calling. You should ramp it up if it's working well, okay? But the problem is cold calling 4 years ago, 3 years ago, no one was doing it, okay? I mean, there's very few people that were doing cold calling. It wasn't until the last year and a half to 2 years when some investors were having success in it. Everyone started talking about it, so therefore everyone started doing cold calling. Okay, that's the ebb and flow. So cold calling was way down here. It wasn't very popular. Not a lot of people were using it. So then some people said, well, shoot, we should start cold calling because no one's doing it. They start doing it. It works great because no one's doing it. And now everyone's doing it. So now what happens is a lot of people aren't answering the phones because there's everyone and their dog is doing cold calling. Okay, so cold calling is working less effectively today than it was, let's say, 2 years ago, but it still works. It still works, right? Direct mail is the same thing. So direct mail, 7 years ago, no one was sending direct mail. The ones who were crushing it, then it ramped up. Everyone was doing direct mail. And now a lot of people have bailed from direct mail because the response rates have gone down. They went from sending 1,000 pieces and getting a deal per 1,000 pieces. Now it's 5,000 pieces to get a deal, okay? But the thing is, those who are doing direct mail well are still crushing it right now. Still crushing it right now. But it's in the ebb and flow. The one marketing method that doesn't ebb and flow right now is inbound, because inbound, especially online, keeps on getting more and more popular. More and more people are going online. More and more people are going online to find answers to their problems. So we suggest that you do SEO, you do inbound marketing, because that's going to help you build momentum over time. That's going to continue to get more and more popular and effective, because more and more people are taking out their own cell phones and using it to search. But then make sure you're mixing in some of those other marketing methods that are really, really effective right now. Okay. So then the next thing is lead stacking. So I'm going to go to the lead stacking now. So this right here is month zero, and this is month 12. Okay. So let's say we've got month zero, we've got month 12 right there. Now what we suggest to do your lead stacking is this, okay? So I'm gonna do 90 day increments here. Actually, I'm gonna do, we'll do 90 day. So month three. So we've got month three, six, nine, and 12, okay? So in that first 3 months, what we want you to do is set your foundation for momentum and now start to get your first lead. So what we suggest here is, to build this momentum with content marketing, you need to start to do content and SEO. Carrot gives you a big advantage because we already dial in the tech stack so it loads fast. We dial in the tech stack in the setup of the website so it's structured correctly. You just need to go in there and modify your content or rewrite it if you'd like to, if you're wanting to rank really, really well for Google. Okay, so I'm going to write SEO here. So search engine optimization, ideally, if I'm giving you like the ideal marketing plan here for everybody, including the person asked the question, SEO is what I would start with because it takes a while to build momentum. Okay, it takes a while to build momentum, but it's going to give you massive, massive results over the long term. And we hear over and over again that the best, highest margin deals come from your search engine optimization because those people are more motivated. It's inherent that if someone comes to you with a problem and they engage you and ask for help, they're going to be higher, more motivated, and more likely to work with you than if it's an outbound marketing message. Okay, so I would start with search engine optimization. In that first month or so, get your website content updated. Take our content on the Carrot site and rewrite the paragraphs in your own words. Or you can hire us or someone else to rewrite the content for you. Add in a good bio on the about page. Add in testimonials, things like that. Okay. And then what we suggest is, if you have the budget for it, which we can walk you through on one of these calls, or I have a video we can link up, is you start some marketing to get traffic to the site now. Okay, because SEO probably isn't going to start to get you real good results if you're in a competitive market and if you're starting from scratch until probably like month 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So you've got to be pretty patient at that point, right? You can't wait, just like Brian Rockwell, you can't wait 9, 10, 11, 12 months to really get lead flow in and have a business that's consistent. So what you've got to do is you've got to be patient during this time. Know that SEO around 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 month mark is going to catch momentum. Year two, it's going to crush it for you if you execute it correctly. But between that gap, you've got to get traffic coming in. So I want to stack a paid lead source, or if you don't have any budget at all to put towards paid, you can stack Craigslist, or you can go out there and hustle in other ways that we can show you. So I would then stack on pay-per-click. So that second one I would stack on pay-per-click right around month two, something like that. What we usually find is with a well-ran Google pay-per-click strategy, and with real estate investors, we suggest starting with Google pay-per-click. With real estate agents, it's actually backwards. We suggest starting with content and then amplifying it with Facebook ads. Google AdWords isn't as effective for real estate agents right out of the gates. We can go through it's a whole nother video, a whole nother strategy on how to do real estate agent marketing with paid. But basically, start with content and credibility on your website for agents. Amplify it with Facebook ads. With real estate investors, start with content and credibility on your website, but then do Google AdWords first and amplify that later with Facebook. So now what's the third thing you stack on there? The third thing I stack on there is now Facebook. Okay, so then I would stack on Facebook third. Right there. So Facebook, I'm probably going to stack that on around maybe month two, month three, with a retargeting ad campaign first. And then after your Google AdWords starts to work and after your SEO is starting to happen and you're executing that or you paid someone to do it, then your Facebook starts to take off around that month two, month three, month four, month five, depending on how fast you want to execute. Okay, and if you're wanting to stack on something else, then you do some outbound stuff, right? Then if you really wanted to, you could then stack on like cold calling or RVMs or something like that. So I'm going to put on that. So now you've got, over the course of the year, you start to layer these on as you perfect them. Okay, get SEO going first if that's what you want to do. You don't have to though. A lot of people are really intimidated, honestly, by search engine optimization because it does take work and it does take time. You have to be patient with it. You're not going to get instant results with SEO that you can with a Google AdWords campaign that's well optimized. Okay, but that's what's going to help you get consistency, predictability, momentum over the long term, which everyone wants. Without consistency, without predictability, without momentum, you can't unlock that entrepreneurial dream that we're all after, right? You can't unlock the freedom. You can't unlock the flexibility. You can't unlock growing your finances predictably and really making the impact you want if you don't have consistent, predictable momentum building lead flow. It just can't happen. Okay. And so many people are in boom and bust business models. So a lot of people, myself included, I had to go through this in order to change my marketing message. So a lot of people have revenue streams that look like that. You know, where it's this boom and bust business model where 1 month you've got a bunch of leads coming in, you're hustling to get those, your revenue crushes it that month, then it goes down the next month. That's because your lead generation systems are boom and bust. Okay. But if you build in SEO over the long term, that's going to help level that out and make it more predictable and consistent to unlock freedom for you. All right. Hopefully that answers your question. Good question here. So how much funding do I need once I purchase a carrot plan to consistently generate motivated seller leads each month? So this right here is a question I'm going to answer with a calculation that I use called the max cost per deal calculation. Okay, the max cost per deal calculation. One mistake that I made early on in my career, and I still make it sometimes, is I add emotion into my marketing budget. Okay, what does that mean when you add emotion into your marketing budget? It means this. So I'm on a phone call with an investor or an agent, and it honestly doesn't matter the level of client that I'm working with. I've worked with some of the biggest investors and agents in the country, and they have this mindset flaw, and a lot of the newer ones as well. So it's not unique to just brand new entrepreneurs. I'll be on a phone call with someone, and they say, "Hey, what can I do with $1,500 a month?" And that's a really good question because for them, they've mentally carved out this number that makes sense for them to risk, right? $1,500 a month. And they're saying, "Hey, what can I do with this?" Now, that's a good question, but it's a fundamentally flawed question and flawed strategy. Because if you're doing direct mail marketing, let's say, and with direct mail marketing, let's say your average profit per deal is $20,000, okay, as an investor, or let's say your average commission is $10,000 as an agent through direct mail marketing. And let's say in order to land that $20,000 profit deal, it costs you $5,000 in direct mail to land the $20,000 deal, netting you $15,000, okay? So $20,000 average profit per deal. Let's say with direct mail, it's costing you $5,000 to land that deal, and that leaves you $15,000 in the middle, right? I think most of us would trade $5,000 for $20,000 all day long. Many of you are in markets where the margins are way bigger, so you're like, "I would never do that. I would trade $5 for $50, but I wouldn't trade it 5 5 for 20, right? So you just have to know your market, know what you're willing to trade, okay? So if you're willing to trade $5,000 for that $20,000 deal, why would you be going in to pay-per-click and saying, what can I do for $1,500? You already know that it costs $5,000 to get a deal with direct mail in your market. Why is it that we're now putting a different standard on another type of marketing? It's mainly because we don't understand the other type of marketing. We're wanting to limit our losses, limit our risk, which is an emotional decision, not based on math. So I'm going to show you how to shift your thought from marketing to emotion, from emotion to math, and it's going to give you your exact dollar that you need to allocate in order to close deals online with online marketing. Okay, so I'm going to erase this here and we'll dive in. Awesome questions, by the way, y'all. Keep the questions coming. Are you guys enjoying this? Pop through the Facebook comments if you guys are enjoying. If you guys are enjoying the very first Ask Carrot, do hashtag Ask Carrot. Go onto social media if you're on Instagram. Hashtag Ask Carrot. Either ask me a question or toss in a screenshot of Ask Carrot and let me know what you've enjoyed the most, y'all. Okay, let me know what you've enjoyed the most. But I'm gonna do this now. I'm gonna do my max cost per deal calculation, and this will give you your marketing budget. Okay, this is gonna completely remove emotion from the question. It's gonna give you your marketing budget. All right. Okay, it's your max cost per deal calculation. So the first thing you want to write down, take out a piece of paper, is what is your average profit per deal? Or if you're a real estate agent, what's your average commission per transaction? Okay. And for this example, I'm going to use $20,000 just because it's a nice round number. All right. Cool. So that's the first thing you do. You always need to start with your marketing. You always, always, always need to start with the end game in mind. If you're starting with your budget in mind, then you're almost always going to lose. Your emotion is creeping back in there. Okay. So you always start with the end in mind. You go, okay, what result am I trying to create? This here is the result I'm trying to create. I'm trying to create profits, or I'm trying to create deals that bring in this profit. If you're a new investor and you're not sure what your average profit per deal is, or if you're a brand new agent and you're not sure what your average commission per transaction is, then go network with other people in your market, or go on to Bigger Pockets or some sort of community where you can find out the average transaction price. If you're an agent, you can probably pretty easily find that just by searching the average sold home price in your area and then figuring what your commission would be based on the average percentage of a 3% or 5 or 6% if you get both sides. And then you got to determine, are you going to go for lower end houses, higher end houses, kind of see where you're going to be for wholesalers, for flippers. You can pretty easily at a local RIA or even just in communication on Facebook groups, find out in your market what people are profiting for a wholesale deal or for a flip or things like that. Okay. So after you do your average profit per deal, next we want to do is how many leads does it take me to get one of those deals? Okay. So that's leads per deal. So once again, if you're a real estate agent, this could be leads per listing or leads per commission or something like that. How many listing leads do you need to talk to before that happens? And with this, you've got to define what a lead is for you, right? Because with a lot of real estate agents, you might be getting a ton of home value submits, okay? And maybe that's not really considered a lead for you. Maybe that's so far at the front of the funnel that you get 100 of those a week, but only one turns into a listing every week or something like that, right? What I would determine is, at what point do you consider a lead? For a real estate investor, it should be considered a lead with online marketing or offline anytime they engage and you talk to them on the phone or something like that, okay? So anytime there's a form submit, anytime they call you, that should be a lead. Let's use this example and say that it takes 10 leads to turn into a deal. Okay, which I'm using that for round numbers for quick math, but the average that we see for real estate investors, if you're marketing for motivated house sellers, is it's about 15 leads to turn into a deal with online inbound marketing and Google pay-per-click. If you're doing direct mail, if you're doing cold calling, the number is going to be much higher, it's not bad. That's just the lay of the land with different lead sources. Okay. And now next, this is where the magic comes in, is this is where you start to remove emotion. I say, in order to get that $20,000 deal, what would you be willing to trade in marketing to get that? Now, some people are going to say, well, I'll trade $100 to get that. Oh, that's awesome. But it's probably not realistic, right? It's probably not realistic. So kind of my rule of thumb is you should be willing to trade 25%. If it's your first deal from this marketing source, I'm usually willing to trade much higher. Like In order to get my first deal, if it was Google pay-per-click going into a new market, I would trade half of the average profit per deal in order to get my first deal done, just to get work my way through some of the kinks, figure out what's working in that market, okay? And then I would pile all that profit back into ramping up my paid marketing. So let's say this example, I'm going to use that 25%, and what I would trade is $5,000, okay? Cool. So this essentially gives me my whole marketing budget. So how much funding do I need once I purchase a carrot plan to consistently generate motivated leads each month? If you're going to do it from paid traffic, this is what you need to mentally be ready for if these are the numbers that are realistic in your market. If you're going to be doing paid traffic, this tells me that I can spend up to $5,000, okay, to get a $20,000 deal, I should be willing to spend that all day long. So the mistake I see so many people making is they go into it thinking, well, shoot, yeah, I know the average profit per deal in my market is 20K or 25K, but I haven't got a deal yet, and I've already put $1,000 into Google pay-per-click. I'm going to stop it. You know, something's not working. And if you're using a high-converting website, okay, if you're using a high-converting website, if your ads are getting clicked effectively, which we can dive into numbers there, okay, if all of those things are true and you're getting leads and leads are coming in, and let's say that you've gotten 10, 20, 30 leads and you haven't closed a deal, there's likely something wrong there. Either your conversion, you're not a good negotiator and you need to go back and learn some negotiations so you can close more of those leads into deals, or they're not qualified leads because you're marketing the wrong audiences, something like that. But this tells you right here that you should never stop your marketing spend on Google AdWords or on direct mail or any of those paid marketing until you hit your trade amount, until you hit your max cost per deal calculation number. Okay, now you might be going, oh, cool, well, how much can I spend on leads in order to get that? All you do is divide your trade number by your leads per deal, which in this case is $500. So this is basically telling me that I can spend up to $500 per lead, okay, in order to get a deal if they close into $20,000 deals. A lot of you are looking at it in the wrong way. A lot of people are I see it in wholesaling houses full time all the time where people are going, man, this person over here is getting leads for $72 a lead. I'm getting them for $185 in AdWords. I'm stopping that campaign. And I just cringe. I go, yeah, you may be spending more than you need to spend because maybe your AdWords campaign or website isn't converting well. But y'all, if you work this number, you can technically spend up to $500 per lead. If you're able to close 1 in 10 and the average profit per deal is actually 20K, you can spend up to $500 a lead and win. This is how the big investors win. This is how the big investors go in there and win. There's a famous quote from Dan Kennedy, an amazing marketer, and a lot of other marketers I've heard talk about this too, is the one who is able to spend to outspend your competitors is the one who wins. Now, a lot of people think, well, shoot, I can't outspend my competitors because they're really, really big and I'm really, really small. But that's, once again, a limiting belief. You need to get through that, because what you do is if you want to close 3 deals per month and someone says, how much of a marketing budget should I allocate with paid marketing as an example in order to close 3 deals a month, I just do this right here. And I go, well, if you said you're willing to trade $5K in order for a $20,000 deal, and you are closing 1 in 10 leads into a deal, awesome. It means you're probably going to need 30 leads, maybe 40, maybe add a buffer there, okay? And it means you're probably going to need to spend between 10 and 15, maybe 10 and 20,000 bucks to get that. But if you're closing 3 deals, and if you're putting in 15K to get that, then you're bringing back 60. So who would be willing to trade $15,000 for 60? All day long, right? So I'll finish it with this. It's going back to Brian Rockwell's story. He started closing his deals in Dallas, one of the most competitive markets in the country, with Google pay-per-click through a high-converting carrot site. Okay, he did this calculation right here. He discovered that other people in his market were closing deals from pay-per-click, just from networking, for about $3,000 to $5,000 per deal. $3,000 to $5,000 per deal with Google pay-per-click, a well-ran campaign to a high-converting website. Those things have to be true. We have so many people coming to us saying, man, I dumped $10,000 into AdWords and for some reason it didn't work. Well, you look at their campaign and it was flawed. Or you look at their website, even if it was a carrot site, And maybe they didn't build out their credibility on there very well. You know, they didn't do very many personalizations on it, okay? But what he did was he said, okay, I'm going to allocate enough marketing budget to get that first deal done. I'm going to add a little bit of buffer. I'm going to remove emotion from it. He's not going to stop a $1,500 ad spend if there's no deal yet. I don't remember what his first deal did, but right now it's about $3,500 to $4,000 to get a deal through Google Pay-Per-Click right now for him. Okay. And then he took that first deal and he took a hunk of those profits, parlayed it into more advertising, and then took those deals and parlayed it into more advertising. And he started that first month or two with one or two deals, but then he ramped up his ad spend with the profits. So you basically self-fund your marketing through your profits. So all you have to do is get enough cash up front to close the first deal and take those profits and move them back in. All right. I'm going to finish it with this one last little tidbit. If you don't want to do any paid advertising, you can do what David Brown does or Tyler Ford does or so many other people and not spend any money on your advertising and just do it with your work. So you can just do search engine optimization, and as long as you're patient enough over that 8, 10, 12 months in executing SEO from our 3 lead per day and hop on our weekly coaching calls, if you're a content pro member or advanced marketer member, then just focus on search engine optimization over the long term. And maybe go out there and drive for dollars using the Deal Machine app. Okay. So maybe drive for dollars, network the crap out of things, use some Craigslist to get some leads coming in now if you really don't have any funds. Okay. And then go build up your search engine optimization over the long term. Okay. Cause SEO, Keith Dean right there, Pearly Dean, they're a firm that we send a lot of people over to. They do amazing, amazing, amazing search engine optimization work. Okay. And that's really where the long term comes. Awesome. Let me look at the next one. Cool. Another good question. Is having the same blog content as other investors and or customers bad for my website? Okay. If so, what can I change on the duplicate content? Awesome, awesome question. So we did the Market Leaders Summit here not too long ago in January. And one of the guests on there was Tyler Ford. And then David Brown was on there. And what they did is they walked through their process and how they use Carrot, how they use our content marketing system, how they use our framework to succeed while saving them time. Okay, so I'm going to give you the ideal first. The ideal scenario here, y'all, the ideal scenario with content marketing is you have 100% unique content. Okay, the ideal scenario is you have 100% unique content. But the problem that we found as we were building Carrot, and that's how we started Carrot. We told people, hey, go out here and do this. We gave them the training, write content. Here's how to do it. Here's ideas. People wouldn't do it. Okay, so then we're like, okay, so if we know this is the answer, how can we start to make some things easier for them? So then we came up with our content marketing system. Okay, and we came up with ways to use short codes on our website templates to put in your city and location, help to give you a base level of search engine optimization. So we're like, if they're not going to do the work, at least we can do something to make it so they have less work and they have a better chance of getting a result, because we're able to spin in, put in their own keywords and put in their cities and locations and stuff. But in order to get really, really, really good results, you then do need to customize content. So if the ideal is 100% custom content and most people aren't doing anything, we kind of came in the middle and we said, you know what? We're going to create a marketing system where our team researches and writes and optimizes articles that we know prospects that are sellers or buyers or tenants or whatever are searching into Google. That way, we at least get you halfway there, okay? And then guys like David and Tyler, they said, you know what? We're going to fully invest in content marketing. That's going to be our thing. And they use our content marketing system. They schedule up their blog posts, and then they go into each blog post and maybe spend 10 to 15 minutes in each blog post personalizing it a little bit. Okay, personalizing the content, you know, 15, 20%, adding in a different picture, adjusting a couple things, and then they publish that puppy. Okay, so rather than pulling away and spending about an hour to 2 hours per article to write fresh articles, or paying someone $50 to $100 to write a unique piece of content that may not even be optimized correctly, okay, you can go in there and spend 10 to 15 minutes per article customizing the crap out of these things and making them work really, really, really well. Okay, so yes, if there's 20 people in your same market, they're all using the exact same content packs, and none of you have adjusted things, the first person or two that published that in that market is likely going to get the search engine optimization result. Okay, but if you're not one of the first people or two that did that, you or have someone else go in there with each content piece and just spend 10 minutes customizing it a little bit and then publish it, which is way better than spending $50 to $100 per content piece, which is what you're going to pay for a writer to write all those. That's that right there. If you're going to post one a week on your website, which is what we suggest. That's $400 a month in paying a writer to write content for you, when that's already included in your Carrot account, okay? Or you can just spend 40 minutes a month having someone customize those, okay? Or I'll give you one last tip. Use Video Post, y'all. We have a feature called Video Post, okay? Video Post is where you shoot short videos, 3 to 5 minute videos, 3 to 5 minute videos, talking about questions or objections or just helping guide people with good quality content. Take those videos and upload them from your phone into YouTube, okay? And then all you do is you go into your Carrot account, and there's a tutorial that we can link up that you basically copy and paste the YouTube URL of that little piece of content you made, a 3 to 5 minute video, and our system will make a written blog post for you. 100% unique content. No one else has it. And then we took that 40-minute process. If you were to shoot the video and then go to rev.com, R-E-V.com, and have it transcribed, and then you were to go over to a blog post and copy and paste a transcription, put it in there and bring over your video URL and paste it in there and format the blog post correctly, it's going to take you minimum 40 minutes to do that. We've taken a 40-minute process down to 4 minutes with our video post feature. So all Carrot customers have access to the video post feature. That's what I would do. All right, so do some customizations if you want to. Add in video posts and go crush it. Let's see. Can you give us examples of the top buyer sites and why they are performing? Local Honest Home Buyer. Awesome question. So are you talking about, as far as buyer sites, are you talking about motivated, like you're attracting motivated house sellers where you're looking to buy property? I'm assuming that, so I'm going to go with that. Okay, so Local Honest Home Buyer, they've been a member of ours for a while. This is a great question, but same thing. It's an interesting one to answer because what is working in one market we found doesn't always work in another market. What we've done so many times, we run a lot of split tests, right? And what a split test is we send one visitor to this page and one visitor to this variation of a page. It could be changing an image, it could be changing the form, it could be changing whatever to see if we can get one version to convert better than another version. And even when we did rolled out things like Hemlock or the Juniper design, we tested them in dozens of markets. And we would oftentimes find trends, but the funny thing is what worked in Baltimore didn't work as well in San Diego, okay? But what crushed it in San Diego didn't work as well in Birmingham. Different demographics, different psychographics, different competition profile, different real estate market phase, all those things impact the way that a website performs, okay? So we can totally show you some examples of ones that perform really well, but it'd be completely misguided to then go, okay, I'm gonna go copy that. Here's an example. One of the biggest ones that we get requested from people is, I want to make my site look like Express Home Buyers, right? Express Home Buyers is amazing. Brad Chandler was a client of ours, you know, at the start of Carrot. We dialed in their whole marketing plan, their online marketing plan. They've executed the heck out of it based on the marketing plan that we helped them lay out. And I'm just really, really proud of the work that they've done. But what happens is people are coming to us seeing, okay, this company is all over the place. They're a big company. Therefore, they must be successful with this. Or opendoor.com. A lot of people come to us say, I want to copy opendoor.com because they're big and therefore this must work. And the flaw in thinking there is, once again, different markets, different businesses, different unique selling propositions, different credibility profiles, different all of that stuff. Okay, so with opendoor.com, it's a completely flawed thought to go, I want to emulate what their site looks like because that's probably what's working. That's not why they're crushing it. Okay, they're crushing it because they basically have flipped the profile of what they've adjusted their messaging in their unique selling proposition. So they are not saying the same message you guys are saying, and they're not saying the same message a real estate agent's saying. They're saying something in the middle. Right. Well, a lot of real estate investors are over here and it's good. A lot of real estate investors are over here saying, hey, we're really just marketing to the highly, highly crazy, most motivated people. Agents are saying, hey, we're marketing to the people who can wait and they're able to wait in order to put the most money in their pocket. Open Doors right in the middle saying, hey, you know what? We're kind of in the middle a little bit. We're going to buy quickly, but also we're going to give you more than most investors can pay. And we're adding a benefit that agents can't, which we can close quicker. Okay. So their unique selling proposition is what's making them work. And then they've built a good credible profile on their website. We've tested the single form opt-in where it's just the address and you lead to a different thing. We've tested the heck out of that, y'all, a lot. And we haven't found consistently where that performed better in every case. We found certain markets where that performed better. We found many markets where it worked way worse, which is why we haven't made it a default where all websites are launched with that. You have the ability to do that on your Carrot site, make it so it's just asking for address, then moving to step two. But we suggest that you don't do that. So we can send through ones that work. We can send through ones that are great. But what you're going to find is they all are a little bit different, but they're all the same. And what I mean by this is they all have the right parts. Okay. So when people ask us, hey, I want my site to look like this. They're looking at the whole pie. Okay. And they're going, I want my site to look like this because therefore it must work because the form is centered instead of on the right. Right. When actuality, it's the pieces and parts that matter. It's, do you have a form that has a certain amount of form fields? 3 form fields is what we found is ideal for conversion and quality. Do you have a form that is optimized to convert? Is the button on that form optimized to the highest conversion, which is make the button as big as the form fields, make the content in the button big, make the button color stand out and contrast from other parts of the website, the web page, make your button word say a benefit, not submit, okay, not continue. Make it say something like get my cash offer or see available properties or something like that. Okay, there's different elements that you want in there. You want credibility elements, okay? You want elements that vet and verify you guys. You want elements that squash objections, and it needs to be all optimized into a really, really great experience, especially on mobile. So we'll link some up, guys, but same thing. It's just really dangerous to then take things and go, well, I think we can increase conversion because of X. It's really all market specific and business specific with your unique selling proposition and what your credibility profile is. And we suggest split testing is the biggest way to start to go down that. We'll link some up for sure. Last question here, and then we're going to wrap up our first episode of Ask Carrot, is Trevor, I'm new to sales working from the Carrot platform. How much sales training versus action is it best to take? Perhaps practice each day for an hour before going out, drilling practice. So I believe what this person is asking is this, okay? There's different parts of being an entrepreneur. There's number one, having a clear offer that solves someone's problem and that they want. Number two, it's being able to articulate the offer and sell the offer. Number three, it's being able to deliver on and fulfill the offer. Okay, so number one, have a great offer. Number two, be able to negotiate and sell the offer. Number three, being able to fulfill and deliver on the offer. Okay, so there are 3 different parts. So we have a lot of Carrot customers who are really, really, really good at the first part. They've got a good offer and they're able to get a lot of leads to it. But then they might come and say, man, I'm getting a lot of leads, but they're not converting into deals, right? We had a really specific example of this in Baltimore. One of our long-term, really successful clients, the market had started shifting. She wasn't able to kind of shift with it. And so she's getting a bunch of leads, but they weren't closing into deals anymore for her. Okay. So we ended up purchasing the website from her. We then partnered with the local real estate investor there in Baltimore, and we took the exact same website, exact same lead source that wasn't turning into deals for that client. And it immediately turned into 6 figures in revenue within 12 months for that other person. Same lead source, same ranking, same website. The only difference was the person on the back end that was collecting the leads was more experienced and had honed their ability to actually negotiate and close deals better. Okay. So I think it's a little bit of both. So the question summing it up, I'm new to sales, working from the Carrot platform. How much sales training versus action is it best to take? I think a little bit of both, but I always like to do something called just in time learning versus just in case. Okay. So many of us get locked up in analysis paralysis by doing just in case learning, myself included. If I go back to my start, y'all, and I still do it now and catch myself on it, where I just dove in and I knew more than anyone else in those forums and I can answer all the questions and I hadn't done anything real yet. I hadn't closed a deal yet. I hadn't done any of that, but I could answer everyone's questions, right? Because I thought, man, I need to learn how to do this document on this thing before I ever even start it. Because if I don't, what's going to happen if I get to that point and don't know what to do, right? And what happens is once you find that out, then you open up a whole nother Pandora's box of, oh my gosh, there's all these other things I don't know. I should probably learn those too. And oh my gosh, there's all these other things I don't know. And I should probably learn that too. And now, oh my gosh, maybe I should look at land buying instead. Right. So you end up getting this analysis paralysis. And so what I suggest is always this: write down what is the very next step. What's the very next step that you need to do to have success? Not 4 steps ahead, not 12 steps ahead, not 2 steps ahead. Okay. If you're not getting leads right now, I wouldn't even worry about learning sales negotiation right now. I wouldn't even worry about sales negotiation. I wouldn't worry about how to set up follow-up. I wouldn't worry about CRM. I wouldn't worry about any of that stuff if you're not getting leads, okay? The only thing I would worry about is how to get leads. That's it, is how to get leads. Once you start getting leads, just pick up the phone, talk to people, go meet with people, stumble, fall. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some, but you're going to learn. And then at that point, you're like, oh my gosh, I figured out how to get leads, but I can't close deals now. I need to go learn how to close deals. I need to learn how to negotiate. I need to learn how to build a credibility profile. You go learn those things. You go execute that now. And now you're closing deals, but then you're going, shoot, there's a lot of leads that if I was just following up on these things, then I could really close more deals or close more transactions as an agent or investor. I really need to get a CRM because I've got so many leads I can't handle follow-up on them. Cool. Now go learn about CRM. Now go get the right CRM in place. Okay, and then execute that. Get your leads managed better. And they're like, shoot, I need to get follow-up in place. Now go find someone who can help you get a follow-up sequence in place. Okay, and I can keep on going on down the line like that. Now at that point, you're like, man, I'm overwhelmed. What do I do next? I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I need help. Okay, now you go learn how to hire. You learn who the right hires are. You learn how to train that hire. You learn all those things. Okay, but the only thing you need to learn right now is the one thing that is the very next step that you have to take to be successful. Not two steps ahead, not 12 steps ahead. If you're not getting leads right now, that's the only thing you need to be focusing on. The only thing you need to be focusing on. Okay? Hopefully that helps. So, y'all, I've had a lot of fun. We're going to do this every single Thursday. On the next ones, I'm probably going to be bringing on Adrian or Sean on my team or Brady. We're going to be bringing on other people on the team on here. We're going to answer questions jointly. We're going to be able to have it to where I can show my screen and some other things like that. But where does this fit in the whole ecosystem of what we have here at Carrot, y'all? So I'm gonna write this down. This is how Ask Carrot fits in the whole ecosystem. All right, so where does Ask Carrot land in the whole ecosystem? Right here. We have, if you're a Content Pro member or Advanced Marketer member, we have, thanks, Chris. We have our weekly coaching calls every single Tuesday at 11 o'clock Pacific time, focused for investors. Okay, so 11 o'clock Pacific time on Tuesdays, we have a weekly coaching call for real estate investors if you're an Advanced Marketer or Content Pro plan member. Okay, so that's the first thing, is we have our weekly coaching calls. If you're a real estate agent, that call is 11 o'clock Pacific time every single Wednesday. Okay, so Tuesdays are investors, Wednesday are agents. Tuesday are investors, Wednesday are agents. It's kind of like this, except it's a lot smaller group and stuff like that. Okay, that's Tuesdays, Wednesdays, our live coaching calls for active Carrot customers and Content Pro or Advanced Marketer above. Okay, next we have our trainings. So the training is kind of the playbook. That's our 3 lead per day training. Okay, that's our Facebook marketing training. That's our Craigslist course training. We're coming out with other trainings soon. That's kind of the playbook of do this, do that. Come to the coaching calls to ask questions for those. Okay, don't go to support and say, how do I go into multiple markets with my Carrot site? Go to our training center, find those tutorials, and or show up on the coaching call. Our support team is probably just going to guide you to those anyway, because they're really focused on helping you use the tool, not on the strategy. Okay, number 3, what's the number 3 source that we help you with? Is our content, okay? So we're trying to deliver a whole breadth of content options in different formats that work for you. The one that I get the most pumped about is Carrot Cast, and this one right here, which this is going into the Carrot Cast. But go subscribe to the Carrot Cast. Then we have our YouTube channel. And we have the YouTube channel in there. And we have our blog. I didn't write the blog down. So what we're doing here, y'all, and I'll wrap it up with this, is we're trying to format our content in multiple different ways to really touch and reach people who like to learn in different formats. If you love this live format and you like the kind of going back and forth, awesome. Every single week, on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to be showing up right here doing Ask Carrot. Submit your questions through carrot.com/ask or show up here and ask them live. We're not going to be able to get to all of them, but we're going to be able to get to as many as we can. Every single week on Tuesdays, we launch a Carrot Cast episode. We have thousands, tens of thousands of people listen to that every month. Two times a week, we launch a YouTube video on different types of topics, okay? And then once to twice a week, we launch a blog post on our website. So just kind of figure out what type of learning you'd like to do. But show up here. There's actually an event inside of our Carrot page that'll help you save this for next Thursday and the Thursday after. And the Thursday after, go save it so you can show up here. Share this puppy up with everybody. But let me know in the comments section on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, what you guys thought about the first episode of Ask Carrot. And you guys have to thank this guy right here. You got to thank the Dancing Carrot. We made a video that launched Ask Carrot and made some ads. And I don't even think anyone listened to what I said in it. Everyone was listening to watching what this dude is doing back here. This is Brady. He heads up the digital content here at Carrot. He runs the podcast. He runs the video production. He runs this show right here. So Brady, nice work, man. I love it. Thank you, guys. Emmanuel, thanks for the props. Says thanks, appreciate this. Dean, thank you, man. Appreciate you in a big way. Chris, thank you. Thanks, guys. Or Keith, not Dean, Keith. Thank you, guys. Have an amazing, amazing rest of the week. Hashtag Ask Carrot on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. We love you guys. We'll talk soon. Now, how do we turn this thing off? You just can watch this. You guys can watch Brady dance. What you guys are going to do is watch Brady dance. There it is.
Dance.
He's going down the elevator. Going down the elevator.